Well, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan announcing a strategic equity partner for the relaunch of SAA. It's called Takatso. It's a consortium consisting of Joburg-based Global Airways, which owns the new budget airline Lyft, and private equity firm Harith General Partners. You've heard the DEA suggesting that Jabu Moleketi's political past is a conflict of interest. I'm not too sure that it's so far in the past. I'm struggling to see the connection there, but they're welcome to explain. And they will own 51% of the airline, which will no longer be dependent on the fiscus. Government will hold a 49% minority shareholding. Tsepo Matluele is the chairman of the Takatso Consortium. And Tsepo, welcome to the Money Show this evening. Is there any cash changing hands, or are you just taking over the 3 billion rand in liabilities which SAA has?
Hi, Mr. Richfield. I think there's no cash change in hand, except that we will be deploying or making available over the next 12 to 36 months whatever initial capital. Initially, we're projecting anything in the region of about 3 billion rand to sort of get the airline started and operational and see what that need is going to be in the next 12 to 36 months. I think the state of the market and COVID and with a gradual coming back of activity, we will then see how this gradually sort of comes up. But we think that this will be just sufficient to just get going in the beginning. But we're not taking over any of the liabilities that SAA had in the past. The government will remain with those. We want to take over a clean sort of airline, only taking those things that we believe are necessary for the going forward of this new platform.
Where is the capital? Where is the capital, the 3 billion rand that you're going to need over the next couple of years to get it back off the ground? Where is that capital going to come from?
Mr. Richfield, over the last 15 years, we've invested over $1 billion of private equity all over the continent in projects with a combined value in excess of $4 billion. So therefore, our ability to sort of raise this money and put it into the entity, we've shown, and we have the asset base to be able to do that.
So you will raise money in markets because there is some suggestion that this is sort of a front for the PIC and there's going to be PIC money involved. I would assume you'll go to the market, and if the PIC wants to subscribe for some of the debt, they could do so, as could my pension fund and anybody else's.
Mr. Richfield, I don't think there is no PIC money in this. The funds that we invest are all funds which belong to pension funds, to development finance institutions, to banks, and those are the funds from all those institutions that we've invested over the past more than 40 years. So PIC was never an investor in the funds. It was the pension funds, though one of our investors has been the GPF, but then it's only one of at least 9 investors. So therefore, our investment rationale for all those funds and for all that commercial money has always been driven by a motive to have a positive return for our investors. There's never been a political motive. And I heard you in the beginning talking about the involvement of Mr. Moleketi, and it's sad to say that since Mr. Moleketi left the government in 2008, when President Beking left at that time. So since then, he has not been involved in government or had anything to do with it. So any sort of thing which is sort of tends to want to want to suggest anything other than we invest for a commercial motive and invest for sustainability is just not founded in any of the facts.
What happens to Lyft? It's the new low-cost airline that came to market last year. It's owned by Global Airways, and Gidon Novik, of course, is the face of that airline. Does it continue to exist, or does that somehow get wrapped into this new SAA?
Within the next few months, a decision will be made in respect to that. One couldn't be taken until at this point when we then, you know, have assumed the position of being the preferred sort of like, you know, partner to government in this asset. So we will now look at everything and put everything on the table and consider what our options are and how this fits into the new mode. Because we are also now going to be doing, whilst, you know, we have a view of what the assets are and a lot of work has been done, we're now going to get into like the final details of looking also further and making sort of like definitive decisions with respect to even all the subsidiaries of SAA.
Okay, so there's still a lot of work to be done. I was going to play a quick extract of Gedon Novick at this morning's media briefing, and he's got airlines in his blood, of course. His dad was a founder of Comair after World War II. Gedon himself became the founder of Kalula.com. He became joint chief executive for a while of Comair. He left that a long time ago, and last year, of course, with the Global Airways business, brought Lyft to the market. And today's presentation, he was talking about why he thinks this is a great time to drive SAA's turnaround.
Many people have said that we are crazy collectively to be starting an airline or restarting an airline in this environment, in today's environment. Ironically, we believe quite strongly it's the best time. Airline models around the world, legacy models, are being challenged. They are flawed in many ways. We have the perfect ingredients. We've got all the knowledge and insight and national interest that government brings. We've got the capital and financial insight and African experience that Harith has. And from a global point of view, we have incredible depth of experience.
That, Tsepo, of course, is Gedon Novick. You know him well. I asked him earlier if he was going to have operational responsibility for the airline, if he was going to be CEO of the airline, and he said he hates titles, but he will be very involved. I mean, I guess you've still got a board to constitute, and that's going to be done in terms of proportions of shares and ownership within the airline. And, of course, you'll have to sort out executive management as to actually who is going to be running the entity day to day. Have you got some ideas on that front?
I think from an the consortium is going to assume control of this new platform, both from a board point of view, it will have like, you know, control, and from a the board will then appoint the new management going forward. However, we have, you know, partnered with Gedon and Global exactly because of like, you know, their expertise that they have, the work that they've done, and more so the new model, which then, you know, they are looking at and have, you know, are done very well with respect to the current environment we find ourselves in, where the aviation industry finds itself. We find that, like, you know, their asset acquisition sort of like strategy, I'm very much in love with that. And I think it's going to be a very sustainable model going forward. You know, whereas, like, you know, before you talk about a low-cost model and then like a full sort of like value model. I think our belief, and then which is what I like about their model, is that we just look at how we can have like a good, best, least cost operating model to be continuously sustainable. And that combined with their like, you know, experience from a maintenance point of view and how they've done that very well within Global, I think stands us in very good stead for this new environment to enable us to be very competitive going forward. You're now finding assets to be at their most optimal pricing than you've had in a very long time, I would say. I don't know, like, I can't say like in how many years, but then like, you know, you've had...
No, certainly for a very long time. I mean, the airline industry went into crisis in 2008, emerged from that very, very nicely, and global airlines were profitable for a while, and then literally the wings came off, the wheels didn't come off, the wings came off global airline industry in March, April last year. Government will get a proportional number of seats at the boardroom table, up to, you know, they won't have control, but they will have a say in how it's going to be run. But they won't be able to dictate routes or flight schedules or service providers, or anything, because it's you know, government has lost control of this vehicle. Can you give me an assurance, Tsepo, this is going to be a truly independent airline with government as a shareholder? A bit, I suppose, like the very successful model of Telkom.
You know, Mr. Whitfield, if we were going to put in the private sector capital behind this venture and we were not going to have the freedom to invest and manage in the manner that like any private sector entity in this very competitive environment would like to do, then it was not going to be even a starter of a show. That was very key with regards to, let's say, like ourselves and, you know, the global sort of like, you know, group in the form represented by Gideon in us being able to take on this partnership. So those, and I can safely say, and, you know, and also all kudos to government that by the time we came to the table, they had already crossed that bridge.
Okay.
To know and accept that, like, you know, control and management and day-to-day running and no interest will be totally private sector-led and run.
About time. Mr. Matluwele.
Upon which you can bring a private capital to that scenario.
Absolutely. Mr. Matluwele, thank you very much. Tsepo Matluwele, chairman of Takatso Consortium. We'll get him back for a Shapeshifter interview, producers. Please, if you could arrange that, that would be great. Listening to that, Chris Christodoulou, Aviation and Commerce Director, Christodoulou and Mavrikis. Chris, too good to be true? It sounds almost like this is exactly the right deal, just, you know, 5 or 10 years too late.
Hi, good evening, Bruce. I actually feel compelled to call you Mr. Whitfield after my...
as you should. I'm thinking, I'm wearing a tie this evening, by the way. You should know this. So maybe that's why Tsepo sensed it. You could sense I was wearing a tie.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you for having me back here. Yes, politics aside, and I think that a lot has already been said about control and board membership and control of the airline. A thought that comes to me is that as things stand, South African Airways still falls under the auspices of the PFMA. And that hurdle will need to be crossed. And I'd be quite interested to hear or see eventually how government intends dealing with it if it doesn't require change to the Act itself. Because having been a past member of the board of South African Express, one of the frustrations of dealing with government was the turnaround time in approvals from government and Treasury on PFMA approvals on expenditure and asset allocation. So that's one of the issues I think that will need to be dealt with over the coming time, and it may already have been done so.
Yeah, again, this is early days and there's a huge amount of detail that's got to be sorted out. But you know, you would have looked at the detail today as much as is publicly available of Takatso, the consortium of Global Airways involved there. Gideon Novick, who's got wings on his, you know, I think if he took his shirt off, wings would sprout out of his shoulder blades. That's how entrenched he is in the airline industry. I mean, this gives SAA a fighting chance or not?
I would say so. You know, I'm looking at it overall. I would think they're more positive than negative. It's an interesting choice of partner. And in as much as we would have all have liked to have seen SAA partner with a big global carrier and to develop those routes and networks and those hubs, it's interesting to find that you're going to be having partners here that are commercially driven. So I think there are more positives than negatives that could come out of this deal, and I do hope they succeed in it, Chris.
Government gets to hold on to the long-term liabilities. These guys get an airline, whatever that is. They'll have to spend 3 billion rand over the next couple of years getting this thing to work. In an environment that is already as competitive as it is domestically, there's not that much international travel happening. There's not that much domestic travel happening. There are lots of empty seats on planes. I'm wondering just how much space there is in the market right now for yet another and quite substantial player.
Yeah, I think we have, there are examples of this. One thinks back to the Greek airline, Olympic Airways, which was privatized in a sense, and a very similar deal was struck and the name was kept and there was some goodwill there. So I think those all are in favor of, they're definitely in favor of the consortium succeeding, I would think, rather than failing. Chepo said, that with government being hands-off and with the consortium now able to access funds on the open market, you know, on the capital market, I think that they would probably have a fighting chance at it. Of course, travel being what it is, it's an up and down business, and certainly commercial rationale has to now, come to the fore, and that'll be the make or break of the airline.
Chris Christodoulou, thank you. The Aviation and Commerce Director, Christodoulou and Mavrikis, this evening on The Money Show.